One of the biggest sources of church tension tends to come from worship teams, and I find that a lot of times it's because worship teams are not managed as well as they can be. In this conversation, we're going to unpack some of the tips to better manage your church's worship team. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about worship team management and some of the things that you need to consider as you're doing exactly that, how to better manage a worship team. A lot of times when we think about worship teams, it's usually worship leaders are often very charismatic people.
Right.
But healthy worship teams are well-managed worship teams. And so
yeah.
I know that a lot of times there is conflict in these areas. And in my experience in churches, a lot of the conflict happens on worship teams of all the church conflict.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the time, that's due to just some management mistakes that we make. And so we want to give you a few tips we can talk about on ways to better manage your church worship team.
Yeah, it's important because, again, this all started with Satan being a worship leader. And because of that, I think a lot of worship leaders and teams struggle. That's a joke. But no, so we'll get into it, Thomas. But no, we laughed about this one at the beginning because, you know, I think it is easy to just look at worship leaders and teams as kind of the divas and the prima donnas and the, you know,
there's a healthy rivalry, right?
Like there between, is,
like
there
I don't know.
Is.
I don't know. It's like it may just be in churches that I've served in, and I love this, but it's like, you know, there's just a different, they're cut from a different cloth, right? Like you know, associate pastors, lead pastors, youth pastors, and then on the other side is worship leaders. They're a different beast all unto them their own. Yeah. So I say this, when I was younger, I thought I would be called to be a worship leader was my the first assignment I felt like I had from the Lord. When I was 19, 20 year old, I would, you know, I was the youth ministry worship leader and college age ministry worship leader. And I just loved doing those kinds of things. But I actually had to take a step back from that. Like when I got into, I know Ian, when you and I were in ministry together, when we were planting a church, I resisted, but I mean, you've heard me lead worship a few times, I'm sure, right? Back in the day. So, but I had to make a decision when I went into a more established church that I just was going to let that go. Like I wasn't going to be a worship leader because I just refused to be the one man show where I would preach and lead worship and do all those things. So I had to step back from that as our primary worship leader. And I felt like it was the Lord speaking that to me.
I'm chuckling and I have to throw in another joke here because I do distinctly remember that we visited a church. It was more on the prophetic side that gave you a word that you had a keyboard anointing.
It's
and
true.
Clearly you've been running from that anointing.
I've been
running
from my calling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think he prophesied that I was kind of running from my keyboard anointing, right? So I was gonna
I was more like King David. You were the keyboard guy and I was more like King David.
Who knew I was gonna start a website company and it was actually a literal computer keyboard anointing.
That's right.
That he was prophesying.
We all have that here at Reach, right? So yes.
We're keyboard warriors around here. Yeah, absolutely.
That's good. That's good.
That's the anointing that he prophesied came true. So anyway, we digress. Let's talk a little bit about worship leaders. We have a few different tips for you to better manage your worship leader, your worship team. If you are a worship leader, or maybe you're a pastor who leads the worship team there. What was the stat, Ian? We saw that 60% of churches, it was, is that right? That
have a single worship leader. Doesn't mean that they're single personally or without a partner. It means that 60% of churches only have one worship leader is what we saw.
Yeah, have the person.
Yeah, right. Lifeway is the source there.
So to that end, if you are that single worship leader at your church or you're a pastor of a church that is leading a single worship leader or a big worship team, we want to give you some tips that we've picked up to help kind of reduce some of the possibility of tension and things that arise in worship teams. And a lot of that is just managing things better. So the first thing, and this seems a little bit different, is like really nailing your vision and purpose. So making sure that your worship team has a clear understanding of why we exist as a worship team. And the answer to that question in most churches is going to be to lead the people of God on Sunday mornings into his presence and to help them to have an encounter with them. And so that's why you exist. And on top of that, it is to be worshipers yourselves. So really making sure that vision as to why we exist, it's not for, it strips away all of the things that can easily be traps for people on worship teams, the limelight and the things that come with being on a worship team. If we're consistently talking about, if we're consistently talking about, this is our vision, our purpose is not us, it's not to make our names great, but to lead people in our church into the presence, into the throne room of God, and to have an encounter with Him and to bring God glory. When we kind of keep the focus on those kinds of things, it helps the other things kind of fall to the background. So really making sure you hone that. And I think every single meeting, every single conversation before every service, that should be your prayer and your conversations and the things that you're talking about every single time.
Yeah, that's good. And it keeps people in. I think that in a worship team, and just what I've learned from worship leaders too, in a good way, sometimes you could, there's just, it could be multifaceted and you can be led off in other directions. But if that persists, then you can get off track. Always steer it back to the vision and purpose. So that's good, Thomas. And next one is having good leadership and communication. You know, I think that, you know, we were joking about this too at the beginning, that a lot of worship leaders rather are looked at as creative types, and they are, and charismatic types, and maybe even eccentric and just different in the way that God has made them. And all of that is great, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't be or cannot be a strong leader and have strong communication within their team. And so if it's just everyone kind of free roaming and doing their own thing and what's right in their own eyes, if you will, then definitely people will get off track and it'll steer people away from what we just said, your vision and your purpose. So having, making sure your worship leader or leaders are well led and are leading and communicating. We did say also communication in this, not just leadership, but that a good leader will communicate well with others and communicate the purpose of everything. So that should always be something that is checked and evaluated within a worship team or within a worship leader. Yeah.
I'd recommend that with a worship team that you have one primary way of communication that you guys establish. And what it is different from church to church, I'm sure. It could be that you guys are all, we email each other. That's how we do it. We text each other. We're on I would recommend probably not a giant text thread for the entire worship team is not the best thing, but you know, you do what works for your church. You know, I know we use Basecamp here at our church. I know at Reach Right, we use Slack for all of our communication. A lot of churches will communicate through Planning Center and some of the tools they have there. But just having one primary way of communication so it's not all disjointed, I think that goes a long way with that too. And that's part of being a good leader, is really making sure you hone what that is with that. So
that's good.
Next one is building your team culture. This is so important. I think having regular engagement with one another on the worship team outside of a worship context is really important for your team culture. So maybe that's as a team, you read a book together. I know our worship team at our church recently read a book called How to Worship a King was the name of it. It was a worship book, but as a team, they all read it. Everybody that's on our worship team was required to read this as part of it. But having other get-togethers, whether they just be dinners together or doing outings or just spending time together, I think that's really important to build the camaraderie and just the overall culture on your team. I will say this, is that worship teams can tend to be, they're the most likely to be maybe a little bit cliquish at times. I think that does happen on worship teams because, you know, again, with the limelight, or at least people may perceive things that way. So be careful of that. To fix that, I think some of the things that are good to do is in that kind of culture building times, invite your lead pastor to be a part of those as well. Your pastor, maybe if your pastor's married, his wife or family, have them be a part of it. So it's bigger than just this team here, and it's not its own island to itself, but it actually is something that's a little bit bigger. But having regular opportunities to, you know, build camaraderie, build culture, read something together, I think those can really help a worship team a lot.
Not much to add there. I think, just to making sure your team is bonding together. And I think the culture also just kind of keeps things reined in. If there's one person that's just outside, or they're trying to produce their own culture, then that's when, you know, dissension and things like that can creep in and everything too. Not to say everyone can't be creative in their own way. Far be it from us to not tell a worship leader or someone within there to not exercise their creativity, but that culture and everyone being on the same page.
Let me add one more thing too. One thing that our church does that I really love to kind of build culture and community on the worship team is they have their own Spotify playlist that they've put together that our worship leader manages, but it's kind of the songs that are speaking to him that he really likes, that other people on the team can kind of hear what he's thinking about and the ones that he's maybe considering putting on the list. But it's kind of a cultural thing, kind of like, because there's some kind of synergy and power that comes with everybody kind of worshiping to the same songs and these same kind of music moving them at the same time there. So, you know, consider a Spotify playlist. It could be pretty cool too.
That's good. That's good. A good addition to that. Next one here, all of this that we're talking about so far will take development and training. So we recommend you're constantly developing your worship team, training them. And this could be like you mentioned, a book. It could be also like we've gone to conferences just for digital marketing that we've provided churches over the years that were just worship leader conferences, you know, to where they're making sure they're staying up with not just trends or being current, but also just they're being developed as leaders and how to lead a worship team. So whether or not it's a conference, whether or not it's a like you just said, the Spotify playlist even falls in with this, a book, some sort of training or providing them resources constantly to keep them developing and getting better. It's like anything else. And I think actually it could be even more dangerous if your worship team gets stagnant or stale and isn't constantly growing, because worship is something that definitely needs to stay fresh and relevant. And I don't mean just music, the types of songs you're using, but just how you're going about worshiping and keeping that fresh. So,
I think there's a responsibility too, like to, as a worship leader, helping people improve at their skill set, like in the music that they're making too. So there's, I know those worship leader conferences that we've been to, they're more about the art of worship leading and like the
production, you know, the, and
some of those kinds of things. Some I think just actually like your vocalists, are there ways that you can help them to train to become better vocalists? Do they have things that they do that they, you know, that get them better at finding harmonies or, you know, staying on pitch or whatever it would be? For your drummers, there's countless courses and things online that people can pay for or do for free. Are you encouraging your team members to be constantly growing in their actual skill set and their instruments and those kinds of things? So that kind of stuff really, honing that and making sure you have a process for those things, I think is helpful too. So, good. Last one is planning and organization, making sure you nail this. This might be the most important thing. I think a lot of the conflict on worship teams comes from lack of planning and organization, because here's in my experience, what I found is that often great worship leaders, great charismatic worship leaders are not often in the same package as a person that's a great administrator and great at doing the organizational side, the scheduling and all of those kinds of things. So there's one of two things you can do to fix that: get better at it or find someone on your team who can help you with it. But I think you have to do one or the other of those two things. And whether you use spreadsheets or, like most churches, we use Planning Center, whatever you do, making sure you use that system to plan and organize and make sure you're on top of things. There really is no reason why you shouldn't have your team kind of dialed in weeks in advance. I think it should be a no-brainer. You don't have to have it, you know, we don't need to know who's doing it next July. But I think that for the next month, it should be pretty clear that unless something changes or sickness and things can happen, you need to have that. But who's on the worship team every Sunday should be kind of assigned, and it's things that are there, and people can start to plan around it and be ready for it and prepare for it. And, you know, do you get the songs out that we're going to be doing at a reasonable time? Do you have plenty of time to let people know so they can practice their parts or make sure that they're prepared at home, doing those kinds of things? Really getting that organizational part, I think, has been what has messed up so many worship teams. So it's important to put some attention into it.
Yeah, that's good. And I think too, it's just the one thing that popped in my mind when you were saying that is that it could be easy if everyone on your worship team just knows what 3 to 4 songs they're doing. Sometimes they could think, oh yeah, we're good. But there's more planning that's going to go into it than that. And you know, so it's this has hopefully been all good, helpful things. Maybe some, at least one thing that a pastor or ministry leader can apply to their worship team and worship ministry. Yeah.
So again, we're coming at this from a perspective of a lead pastor or executive pastor that I am now.
Right.
And so I've led our worship leaders those things. So I'm coming at it from that perspective. If you are a worship leader, I'd love to get a comment on something that you've seen to help you better organize your worship team and manage things well. If you've gone from times of conflict and strife to something that's more healthy now, we'd love to hear about it. Drop us a comment down below. We'd love to. We respond to every comment around here too, so we promise we'll do that as well. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family. Hit the subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.